In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The one who was laid on the altar under simple forms and bread and wine last night is nailed to the cross in flesh and blood today. It is Jesus, the Son of Man and Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. The one who the writer to the Hebrews tells us is the great high priest who has passed through the heavens, who sympathizes with our weaknesses, and who showers upon us mercy and grace. It is Jesus, the greatest gift and the eternal sacrifice, who is the source of our salvation. On this night, we hold vigil. We make our yearly remembrance of his unjust arrest, brutal beating, and bloody crucifixion. On this night, we are brought face to face with the punishment for our sins, the death of God. It's unavoidable. And it's hard to become desensitized to, especially in this sanctuary where the atrocity of this day hangs over our heads week after week, day after day. But then again, one can rarely become desensitized to death, even when it isn't memorialized in carved wood or forged metal. We've all brushed up against death in some shape or fashion, whether it was our own near-death experience or the death of one we held close or one we barely knew. Even the death of opportunities or expectations or control have haunted us. What I find so fascinating are the ways in which our senses kick into overdrive when we are faced with death and when we make remembrance of that death. For weeks after the death of a childhood friend, I couldn't help but see his face in those who passed me by. On special occasions, I wear the watch my grandfather, who is now with the Lord, wore when he was my age. Often people keep clothes or blankets of loved ones who have died so they can remember their scent. And I'll admit that I've already saved voicemails from my grandparents and my parents so that I can remember their voice long after the day the Lord decides to lead them to the hand of the Heavenly Father. As incarnate beings, death affects every part of our bodies. I wonder how Jesus sensed things on this most dreadful day of his earthly life. What did he taste and hear and touch and see and smell? Can we slow down enough this evening to ponder this anew? when he hung on the cross, gasping for breath, could he still taste the remnants of the supper he shared with his disciples the night before? Or did the sweat and blood and vinegar mask that feast of love? What did he hear on the way to Golgotha after his verdict was announced? Revilement from the crowds mixed with the wails of his family and friends and followers? But then again, maybe the scraping of the wood of the cross on the ground muffled all of that out. Before Jesus' hands were pierced with nails, was he able to feel the gentle touch of the woman who bore him one last time? When he was pierced, could he feel the weight of the whole world in his hands? What could he see with the blood and sweat dripping from his brow into his eyes? Was it the darkness of death? Or did he glimpse paradise? And as a carpenter's son, when the wood of the cross was placed onto his shoulders, did the smell remind him of home? Or did he think of his ancestor Isaac, who also bore the wood of sacrifice, but in another time and in another place? When we take the time to slow down and ask these questions, some of which we have the answer to, and others we don't, we come to realize just how terrible this day was for the Lord. It begs the question, why did God's love put Christ through this kind of death? Why was his journey so long and his senses so overloaded? Why the cross, when a man on a cross takes so long to die? Here's one thoughtful answer from a brilliant little book by Father Romanus Cesario. Choosing the cross gave Jesus 3 final hours to think about each one of you for one last time before he died. That could be the homily in itself. It turns out everything Jesus tasted and heard, touched and saw and smelled reminded him of you. When he tasted the blood and the sweat and the vinegar, he thought of the communion he'd share with you. When he heard the revilement from the crowd, he remembered the divine plan of rescue. You are my beloved son. When he was touched by the nails of the cross, he knew it would be so that you didn't have to suffer as he suffered. When he looked down on the people gathered before him, he saw you too and shouted a declaration of love. Father, forgive them. When he smelled the wood of the cross and the perfumed oil that still coated his body, he knew it would be a pleasing aroma of sacrifice to the Father on your behalf. In his great kindness, now Jesus shares all of that with us, pulling us wholly into the mystery and beauty of this day. We will taste the body and blood again tonight. We get to hear his cry of victory for us. It is finished. We will in a moment touch the wood of this cross, connecting us in a mysterious way to our Lord's cross. When we gaze up at the crucifix, this sign of death, not in grief, nor in shame, but now in wonder and love. We still smell but faintly the remnants of the incense from last night, which gives us hope for the coming resurrection. Let us not become desensitized to this day, but let us lean into our senses all the more. By doing so, we will be reminded of the one eternal sacrifice that is enough for our salvation. By doing so, we will hear the Lord in every nook and cranny of this sanctuary and memorial say to us anew, I love you. I love you. I love you. Behold, the wood of the cross on which hung the salvation of the world. Come, let us adore with every sense and every fiber of our being. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.